Praise God for that.
Back in the book of Galatians. Hymnals. And we'll stand for our opening hymn tonight, just prior to the message, that is. And I want to sing hymn number 31. I love hymn 31 because that morning, that day spring from on high is coming quickly. Boy, oh boy. I don't know if you all seen the tragic shooting in Virginia this morning of a television crew shot to death on live television. Shot to death on the newscast.
It was
rolling. They couldn't stop it in time, and it came on the TV.
And it was one of the reporters that used to work for them.
Yeah, right. It was one he used to work there. Unbelievable. And these are what crazy times we're living in, folks. People need the Lord. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. And so, 90%.
Oh boy. Yes, indeed, Sister Rita. Yes, indeed. 31, and we're going to sing the first and the last. Oh, praise the Lord, folks. So good to be in the house of God tonight with God's people. No better place to be. One more, Bob. There we go. Best loved hymns.
Why the piano player?
Strange, isn't it? No, I don't know why that. Oh! Oh, boy. It's 28. So sorry, church.
That blessed promised land, but he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by.
Amen.
By when the morning comes, with the saints of God all gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
Temptations and snares often take us unawares, and our thoughts are good to plead, for he comes word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, we will understand it better by and by.
Everybody now!
By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
Well, praise the Lord, folks. Please be seated. And one other announcement I meant to make was that the counter on the website is froze up again.
Again?
Yeah, I know. It was going yesterday. Now it's froze up again. But, folks, I got good news. It's not going to be happening anymore after next week, because what we're doing as a church, Carol and I discussed this, and just for a very nominal increase on the annual rate, it's going to be $225 for the website. We're getting a huge server. They're upgrading our whole site. We're getting a wide, big, broad bandwidth that's going to handle thousands of simultaneous users. So we'll never have this problem again, if Lord willing. So, yeah. So, you know, temporarily, it's no big deal. People are still able to listen to the sermons. It's just not counting, you know, so it's no big deal at all. And it will be properly going very soon, I promise. All right, folks, let's grab our Bibles tonight and open up to the book of Galatians. We will have our church family prayer meeting to follow for those of you who are able to stay. Open up to chapter 6 once again. Galatians chapter 6. And tonight, we're going to cover some more verses in Galatians chapter 6. We're going to be going verse 6 through 10. How many verses is that, someone?
Four.
Nope. 5. Count the bookends when you're counting Scripture. Okay, so when I say 6 through 10, think 7, 8, 9, and then 6 and 10 equals 5. Go like that. That's the bookends. Okay, now, in Galatians chapter 6, we're going to pick it up in verse 6. And tonight I want to talk to you on a very important subject for the Christian. That is spiritual sowing. Spiritual sowing. In Galatians 6, verse 6, we read, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for Wednesday night service. Oh God, thank you for your believing people tonight, the saints of God. And thank you that one day, Lord God, we'll understand it better by and by. And thank you, Lord God, for your presence with us in the house of God tonight. We ask that your Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our understanding. Show us wondrous things out of thy law, that we may see glorious truths from the word of God, which we've not seen before. And Lord, that it would make us better servants for thee. Lord, that it would further sanctify us and draw us nigh and closer to thee than we've ever been. And Lord, in these crazy days that in which we're living, we're so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, the anchor of our souls. We're so thankful that he will not let our ship go. We love you and we thank you for the blessings of God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now, folks, last week we saw the apostles' admonition for true believers to help one another in bearing burdens. You remember that? And the reason for this we found in verse 5. Look at verse 5 of chapter 6. "For every man shall bear his own burden." Is there anybody here in church tonight, you've never had a burden to bear? You've never gone through any trials, you know, persecutions, difficult times? No, nobody's hand is up. Because every man and woman shall bear their own burdens. And so he says, "I want you to help one another in bearing your burdens," verse 2. "Bear you one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ." See that? Now, here tonight, in verses 6 through 10, Paul turns his attention to the individual believer. And he exhorts him or her concerning personal responsibilities. Let me give you a few of them. The first one is found in verse number 6. He speaks on ministerial support. It's in the Bible, ministerial support. Let's read verse 6. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Now, the word here, communicate, is the Old English word for support or distribute to. He's saying you should help to support your minister. That is him, not her. Hello, Joyce Myers, you're disqualified. To support your minister that teaches the word, the one who teaches you the word, verse 6 says. Go to Philippians chapter 4, holding your place, of course, in Galatians. This communication is speaking of giving. It's the Old English word for giving. In Philippians chapter 4, look at me at verse 15. Paul says, "Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning what?
Giving
and receiving, but ye only." He says, you at Philippi, you were the only church that supported me in ministry. You gave to me for my physical needs. Now, as you know, as your pastor, I work a full-time job. I believe that a pastor can work, he should. But if you've got a church of, you know, if we grow to about 5,000 folks, I may have to go full time, you know. But in the meantime, that's fine. That's fine the way the Lord's got us going here, you know. And this church does for my wife and I what they can, and I praise God for that. That is such a blessing. It's not saying that your pastor can't work. And a lot of these guys, they don't understand that. They think, oh no, you got to give me all your money. Yeah, that's Benny Hinn. That's not here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, Paul is speaking about a full-time minister. Now, I'm a full-time minister. I'm also a full-time security guy. There's nothing wrong with that. But he's talking about a full-time minister who is not able to work. Okay? You got to decipher here in the Word of God what he means. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look with me at verse number 6. Watch what Paul says about it. You know that Paul worked? He was a tent maker in order to support his ministry. Look at it. Verse 6, Paul says, "Are I only in Barnabas? Have we not power to forbear working?" You know what he's saying? Paul was an apostle. He said, "I don't have to work. I can demand from the church's salary." And he could. He had apostolic power, folks. But he didn't do that. Watch what he says. "Who goeth to warfare at any time at his own charges?" He said, God sent me. I didn't volunteer to do this. "Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen?" Yeah. "Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you..." See, these Judaizers were coming in and saying, "Hey, you need to support us." And they were false teachers. Paul says, "Are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." He says, "I don't want people to think I'm in this for the money. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the holy things of the temple?" The priests were supported 100%. They didn't work. They worked for God. "And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. They ate of the leftovers of the sacrifices." It's in the scripture. "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Now he's talking about a full-time minister. "But I have used none of these things. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me." He says, "I don't want your money. I want your soul. Look it, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void." Paul says, "I don't want a salary. I make tents. I'm fine." But he says there are certain guys in ministry that you take a guy like, Jonathan Kahn. Jonathan Kahn, we love. That guy's full-time all the way. He's flying back to the West Coast to preach at Mark Biltz Prophecy Conference. That guy needs a salary because he's full-time. He doesn't have time to be a security guard. You see that? So he does take a salary. Certain guys do take salaries only if they have to. Now then there's these other guys in ministry that shouldn't be getting a salary, and they are. Now, so here, what am I saying? I'm saying that it is biblical to support your pastor. Okay? Now, folks, the Greek word here for communicate is koinonio. Koinonio. It implies more than just physical support. It suggests a sharing mutually of spiritual fellowship. You know what I love about you? We share the fellowship of the Lord together. It's nothing to do with money. It's being a family together. It's sharing. Koinonio means sharing together and helping one another in whatever area the need is. You see that? Secondly tonight, back to Galatians chapter 6. Observe the warning issued. Verse 7, there's a warning issued. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth or planteth, that shall he also reap." Now, here Paul makes it clear that whatever seeds you plant in the ground, those seeds are going to grow. And they're going to bring in a harvest one day. Whether those seeds are good seeds or whether they're evil seeds. Now, I got a question for you. Who is Paul speaking to here in verse 7? Would that be the lost world? Or would that be Christians like you and me? That's right. It's Christians, Ellie. Because look at the first word of verse 1. Brethren. That's saved people. That's born again Christians. He's talking to believers. And he's saying that a believer, it is possible for a believer to sow evil seeds and to reap the same. Listen, I always say this, folks, because it is possible for any one of us as a Christian to commit any sin that the world out there commits. Why? Because we still have this flesh. And that's why it needs to be crucified daily by the Holy Spirit. Now, Beloved, this is the unchangeable law of sowing and reaping. It's a spiritual law. Spurgeon said, he who acts for the present moment only is like one who is indifferent to the coming harvest. And so he either thinks to save by sparse sowing, or else recklessly strews obnoxious seeds in his field, sowing wild oats, as people say, and yet hopes to reap a far different kind of harvest than he will. Spurgeon saying, that man is a fool who plants evil seed and expects to be blessed. It doesn't work that way. Listen to me. Just as there are physical laws in the universe, like this plate right here, this Aubrey plate, if I let this plate go, it will fall because of the law of gravity. See that? It's a law. You can't violate that law. It's not going to go up if I let go of it. It's going to go down. So too in the spiritual realm. There are laws of the universe that cannot be changed or altered in any way. One of those laws is called sowing and reaping, okay? Whether you're saved or lost, hello, it doesn't matter. Sowing and reaping is for everybody. Now, the Bible says we will reap as we sow. Now go to Matthew chapter 7. I always love to see what Jesus said about it, amen? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is preaching up a storm, and he says this to the people who were listening. In Matthew 7, look with me at verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? No. No, you gather grapes from a vine, not from a thorn bush. Or figs from thistles? No, you get figs from a fig tree. 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Whoa! See, those who sow evil seeds will one day be cast into the fire if they're not saved. Now go to Hosea chapter 8, the Old Testament, Hosea. Just after Daniel, you'll come to Hosea. Just before Joel. See, if I knew where those were, I'd be good. Hosea chapter 8. Look with me in verse number 7. Can't wait for you to find the address. Verse 7 says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Talking about sin. It hath no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. And so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. God's prophet Hosea says to the children of Israel who are in idolatry, he's reproving them, and he says, you've sown the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. You know what whirlwinds do? That's a tornado. It destroys anything in its path. Not good. Go to chapter 10, Hosea, chapter 10. Look at me at verse 12. Verse 12, we see, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, that's the hard ground, and for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way in the multitude of thy mighty men. He says you guys need to sow good seed, not evil. It's very important. Job. Go back to Job from Hosea. Prior to the book of Psalms. You'll find the book of Job. Go to chapter 4. In Job chapter 4, watch what Eliphaz, the Temanite, says in verse 8. Eliphaz says, by the Holy Ghost, even as I have seen, this is Job 4, 8, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. He says, mark it down. Folks, this is the oldest book in the Bible, Job. Job antiquates the Pentateuch. Job, this guy was contemporary with Noah. I mean, he goes way back. He lived after the flood, yeah, but not much after the flood. This is the old, Job is the oldest known book in the history of the world. Now, beloved, this is an established spiritual law of the universe that cannot be altered. It cannot be bypassed. Listen to me. Sin kills and righteousness blesses. Sin kills and righteousness blesses. I heard a preacher once who spoke on think it through. His message was, think it through! Great message, too. And he said, that's the problem. People don't think about the consequences of their actions. That's sowing and reaping. Think it through. That's good advice. Thirdly, tonight, back to Galatians chapter 6, moving right along. Thirdly, notice the two types of spiritual sowing available. Verse 8. Verse 8 we read. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What? Now, folks, notice here that there are only two types of sowing that a child of God can do. There's only one type of sowing that a lost man can do. What's that? Sowing to the what?
Flesh.
He doesn't have the Holy Spirit, so he can't sow to the Spirit. You see that? You have an option. You have two types of sowing available to you. Now, there are two types of sowing for the believer, for the lost only one. First of all, there is flesh sowing. Look at verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, first of all, how does one sow to his flesh? What's he actually saying, practically speaking? Listen, the answer is found in chapter 5. Look at verse 19 of chapter 5. Now, the works of the flesh, notice the words of the flesh, are manifest, which are these. It gives you a dirty laundry list of works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. All those evil, sinful activities come from the flesh. That's not from the Spirit of God. That's from the flesh, which is corrupt by nature. So, these are the works of flesh. Now listen, any Christian is vulnerable to the sinful works of the flesh. Why? Go with me to Romans chapter 13. It has to do with the body of sin that we still possess, which is not us. The flesh is not you, but it's there, and it wants to rule you. Tell it to shut up and sit down and be quiet. The flesh is evil by nature. It needs to be crucified, and you can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit can. Listen now, Romans 13, watch this. Look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. You love somebody, you don't want to hurt him. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, beloved, are you aware of the hourglass, the clock, that ticket? It's just seconds left and it's going to hit midnight. Boom, we're right there. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation of the body nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. To what? Fulfill the lusts thereof. Folks, listen to me. If you're not careful, you'll be fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. You know why? Because it's still there. Listen to me. Verse 14 is the answer, child of God, to not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and not to doing the works of the flesh, sowing to the flesh. Look at the first part of the verse. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ is in you and on you and leading you, you're not going to sin. You're going to be walking in His paths. You're going to be walking in His ways of sanctification by His Spirit. You see that? Too many Christians are undressed today. What? That's right. They're not clothed in the armor of God. And every piece of that armor is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you study it out, every piece of that armor is Jesus Christ. He's our armor. Amen? I want to have Jesus on me. Jesus protecting me. Jesus keeping me from this. Because it's corrupt. Now, listen carefully. These two types of sowing, the first one being to the flesh, the sinful works of the flesh. Notice here in Romans 13 that the believer is warned not to make provision. You see that word provision in verse 14? Provision for the flesh. He's saying don't go to the place of temptation. He's saying if you have a problem with alcohol, don't go shopping at the liquor store. If you have a problem with lust, men, don't go to the beach in the summertime where all the women are bikini clad. Your eyes will go there. I know, I'm one of them. You know, now listen, folks, listen. I'm going to tell you this. My wife will tell you quick. I let her go to the beach in the summertime with Esther and the kids, whoever want to go. Have a good time. I'll stay here with my Bible, safe and sound. I'm not going. Why? Because they're naked. Hello? You know, they get these string. It's a string bikini. It's a string. They're not cool clothes. I'm not going to subject myself to that because it will cause my eyes to sin. Know your limitations, man. Now, don't use the internet without an accountability filter, particularly the men. Why? Because pornography is blatant. It's everywhere on the internet. I mean, man, you got to have protection. If you are addicted to cigarettes, don't buy cigarettes. He's saying don't provide the flesh with the very thing that will cause you to sin. Does that make sense? That word provision is very important. Because too many God's people make the mistake of providing for the flesh, and they wonder why they're in sin. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Watch what Solomon, the wisest man of the world, said about it in Proverbs chapter 4. I love this passage. It's so practical. I mean, man, he hits you right between the eyes. In Proverbs chapter number 4, look with me at Proverbs chapter number 4, verse 14. We'll start reading in verse 14. Now look at verse 1. Hear ye children. Children of who? Children of God. The instruction of a father. And attend to no understanding. He says your heavenly father is about to give you some real good advice. Verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Why? Is there a danger of contamination? Yep. Avoid, look at verse 15. I love this. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. Four negatives in one verse. You think God's trying to tell us something? He's saying, don't provide for the flesh, don't go near it. Verse 16, for they that sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light. That's what we need, the light of God's Spirit and Word, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Solomon says you need God's words where? In your heart. It'll keep you from sin. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Time out before we continue. Look at verse 22. They're life to those that find them, and health to all their what?
Flesh.
You know what I believe? Over the years of preaching for 27, 28 years now, I believe that the spiritual realm directly affects the physical realm. I sincerely believe that. He's saying here in verse 28, notice the word health. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. We all have infirmities of the flesh, illnesses, varying sicknesses that the Lord allows us to have. They're not all for sin. I'm not saying that. I don't believe that at all. Let's just ask Job. But I am saying that there is a direct connection between your spiritual health and your physical health. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. That's the path of God. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know what he's saying, this whole passage? He's saying, don't provide for the flesh. He's saying, go my way and you'll be fine. You'll be just fine by the Holy Spirit. Powerful passage on not sowing to the flesh. But something else we need to see. Secondly, there is a second type of sowing. Back to Galatians chapter number 6. There's a second type of sowing available to the child of God. The first is sowing to the flesh. And by the way, before we go to the second type, look at verse 8 again. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what?
Corruption.
Corruption. You know that you can die before your time? Sin can kill you. I'm talking to Christians. Oh yeah. If you just allow sin and you refuse to repent and you just indulge in it like a pig in the mud, I'm telling you right here, your flesh, God is not going to allow you to continue that way if you're saved. He's not going to allow you to live like the world. He will chastise you. He will chastise you to bring you back. But God's got a breaking point. If you refuse, you put your fist in his face, I'm not serving you, I'm not obeying that word. Sooner or later, corruption's coming to the flesh. You can't lose your salvation. So your soul can't be corrupted. It's cleansed by the blood. So what's going to get corrupted? Your physical body. This is serious. Verse 8. But, I love this second type of sowing. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, the second type of sowing possible for the believer is called Spirit sowing, capital S. Look at verse 8. Sowing to the Spirit. It is very important for us to properly understand this verse. Paul is not speaking about personal salvation here, folks. Paul is saying, now if he was speaking about, look at it, in verse 8. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Is Paul saying that you're going to get eternal life by sowing to the Spirit? No. Ellie says, no way. She's right. He's not saying that at all. He's saying by your sowing to the Spirit, you're going to bring a harvest of souls to life everlasting. You see it? He's saying you're going to reap a harvest of souls who will possess everlasting life. Now, Paul is not speaking about personal salvation here because that would imply salvation by works. And that's an impossibility. He's saying that you will reap a harvest of saved souls by your sowing to the Spirit. You know why so many Christians never win a soul to Jesus? They're not sowing to the Spirit. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to draw lost souls to Jesus Christ through them. They're trying to do it themselves. Beat them over the head with the Bible. Won't work. You've got to let the Holy Spirit, like Val was giving that testimony tonight about that guy doing the work at the house and how she was speaking and letting the Holy Spirit deal with him, giving him gospel tracts and telling him about Jesus Christ, how great he is. Now, Paul is saying here, we're almost done. Paul is saying here that your fruit, that is the souls you win to Jesus Christ, by you daily sowing to the Spirit, which means being directed and controlled by the Holy Spirit, will become one day a harvest of everlasting life. Not yours, but theirs. Isn't that? Look at what he's saying. You can raise a crop of everlasting life. This is, oh, folks, you've got to grab hold of this tonight. Val's getting it. She's going, yeah, I like this. Because you can grow. Val's got a garden. She's always bringing us stuff from the garden. And praise God, it's good, you know. Why? She likes to grow things. But how about growing souls for Jesus? How about you go out there in that garden, you got a bunch of souls saved, born-again Christians. Wow! How'd they get there? By her sowing to the Spirit in their lives. Woo! This is good stuff. Now, notice the wording here. In verse 8, watch it. He says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap something. It is the Holy Spirit that's doing the reaping. You can't save anybody. The Holy Spirit saves them and gives them everlasting life through the blood. So that's why he says in verse 8, he that soweth to the Spirit, that's you, shall of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, reap life everlasting. See that? Oh, folks, this is so good. Now, go to John chapter 16. I want to show you how you work together with God. You are a co-laborer with God. John chapter 16. Jesus said it before it ever occurred that it would. In John chapter 16, look with me at verse number 6. Verse 6. Jesus said, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Jesus is going back to heaven. He's going to be crucified. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He always does. It is expedient. What's that word expedient mean, someone? Begins with a P. Profitable. It is profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Who's the Comforter? Jesus was the Comforter while he was on earth. That's true, Mark. No, he's right. That's true. Yeah. But after Jesus left earth, who was the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, look at verse 18. Here's the Holy Spirit's job, and he does it real good. He convicts a person of the guilt of their sin. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. And finally they come to realize, I really am guilty before God, ain't I? Secondly, he convinces the lost sinner of righteousness. A righteousness that he does not have because of sin. It's another's righteousness which he needs by imputation. Thirdly, he convicts the lost sinner of divine judgment to come. If I don't get saved, I'm going to be judged one day by my Maker. See, this is what the Holy Spirit, he did all three of these for me, I know. That's why I got saved. Okay? 19. Of sin because they believe not on me. You can't make them believe on Jesus. Holy Spirit can. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Ellie's smiling on that one. He shall glorify me, Jesus said, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus Christ through your life. And he does a good job of it. And in his glorifying Jesus Christ through your life, he draws souls to Jesus Christ. Are you getting the picture? Go with me to chapter 15. Chapter 15. Look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Notice verse 27. Somebody is working with the Holy Spirit, bearing witness of Jesus Christ. That's you, and you, and you, and you. See that? Ye shall bear witness also, and you'll do it with the Holy Spirit, not in the flesh, but with the Holy Spirit's help. And look at chapter 17, John 17. Look at verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, Jesus said, even so have I also sent them, the disciples, into the world. Now, Jesus didn't send you unequipped. He divinely equipped you with what? The Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 20. Chapter 20, look at verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the what?
Holy Ghost.
Jesus says, first in verse 21, he says, I'm sending you into the world to win the lost. And in verse 22, he says, I'm giving you something special to do it with. The Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, fourthly, back to Galatians chapter 6. That's the two types of sowing. I prefer the second. Fourthly, notice the caution given. Verse 9, almost done. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what he's saying? He's saying don't quit. Child of God, don't throw in the towel on Jesus Christ. You know what's happening, folks? And this is really sad. All over the world, Christians are quitting on God. They're quitting church. They're quitting soul winning. They're quitting prayer. They're quitting reading their Bible. And it's a scary time we're living in. Don't quit. Don't quit. Take Paul's advice in verse 9. Do not be weary in well-doing. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, here, the caution given is not to faint. Folks, too many believers today are passing out spiritually. And the simple reason is because they're trying to serve God in the flesh and not by the Spirit of God, who never tires or grows weary. The whole key to you serving God is the Holy Spirit. He is the whole key to your Christian life. If you're doing it in the flesh, you're going to fail, you're going to be burnt out, and you're going to quit. Because you'll get frustrated. You'll get discouraged. You'll get defeated. But by the Holy Spirit, Paul said, I can do all things. Period. No. Through Christ which strengtheneth me. He strengthens me. And that's why I can do the things he called me to do. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Oh, I love this passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look with me at verse number 13. Powerful verse. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Paul first tells them not to be weary in well-doing, that's serving God. And then he tells them how to do it. Verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ being with you. The grace of God will enable you to do what you could never do. Amen. That's how powerful our God is. It's amazing. He overcomes the weakness of the flesh. Grace, listen to me. I want to make a statement. Grace is the key to the Christian life. Grace, grace, grace. That's why I'm always hammering the pulpit about God's grace. Finally, back to Galatians number 6. Fifthly, observe finally the need for impartiality. This is important. The need for impartiality. Look at verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto saved people. No. Unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, indeed, church, we need to be a blessing to all people, saved or lost, while we live. That guy Val was talking about, that she was befriending and telling about Jesus, he's not saved, but she was loving on him and trying to love him to the Lord. We need to do that for all people, saved or lost, while we live. Why? There's coming a day when no man worketh for the Lord. See, the night is coming so quickly. To the saved, we must do well-doing because we're family. To the lost, we must be well-doing because they have the potential to become part of our spiritual family. Every lost person you come in contact is a potential trophy of God's grace. Think of them that way. And then you say, wow, I really need to care about this person because they could glorify God forever if they get saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. See? To the church and to all lost men. Now, folks, Paul in another place said, live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within you. In other words, as much as you possibly can. If they attack you, they're stoning you, you better run, you know. It's not going to work. But if you can, befriend them. Now, listen, in obeying this admonition in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 6, we will be imitating him whose life was laid out in only doing good, both to the unthankful and to the godless, as well as to the little flock of believing sheep who waited for the consolation of Israel. And as we seek, by the power of the indwelling Spirit, to maintain the same attitude toward our fellow men, whether sinners or saints, we fulfill the royal law. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you looking for those opportunities of verse 10 to share the love of God with all men? Because if you're not, we need to. Folks, time is running out of the hourglass. The last few granules are filtering through, and it's going to be done. And the trumpet's going to blow, and we're going up yonder. What am I saying? I'm saying we need to make every day count now for Jesus Christ. Why? We don't have much time. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for verses 6 through 10. How we thank you, Lord, for the encouragement of the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit to us. Lord, that we need to indeed sow to the Spirit, not to the flesh. And that in so doing, Lord, living a Spirit-filled life, led by the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit, we will reap life everlasting in those we come in contact with. Oh, Lord, the reason we'll reap those life everlastings is because of the divine seeds of the Holy Spirit that we will be planting. It's supernatural. It's not of this world. It's supernatural. And we thank you, Lord, that it's real. And we thank you, Lord, that you're still saving souls. The trumpet hasn't blown yet. And there's still time for folks to get saved before the tribulation period begins. Use us, Lord, for your honor and glory. Our prayer as a church family, use us for your honor and glory. And we know that part of that glorification of the Son of God is winning souls. Lord, you see our hearts tonight. We pray as a church family right now in Jesus' name for the 7 missions projects that we support. Lord, we pray for souls to be won this week through all seven of these missions projects on this board, that our missionaries and our website would bring souls to life everlasting this week as we support them and as we pray for them and as we see you work mightily through them and through us as well, Lord. We thank you for the, I love that word, opportunity. Wow. The opportunity's running out. The time is short. We must get busy for our Father, about our Father's business. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. The people said, amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals. And we'll stand for our final hymn tonight. Hymn number 50. One good thing about sowing to the Spirit is that there are showers of blessing when you do, pouring out upon the believer's life. Hymn number 50, and we will sing the first and the second in closing. Yeah.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of God. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we need. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we need.
Woo! Praise the Lord, Brother Dennis. Dismiss us in prayer tonight.
Dear God, help us
Yes, Lord.
And so be patient, and even to those that are harmful to us, still be kind and do what God says for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for these teachings tonight. Amen.
Amen.